For this morning, Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 44. We will read, first of all, beginning at verse 37. And at the occasion, or the time, when he spoke, a certain Pharisee was asking him that he would eat the morning meal with him. The word "with" is literally alongside of him. And when he entered in, that is Jesus, when Jesus entered in, he reclined. When they came in for the meals, they would actually lay down sideways, propped up on one arm at the table. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that Jesus was not first washed before the morning meal. The reason why we have translated aristos as the morning meal is because dapnos, that's with a diphthong, iota, epsilon iota, dapnos is the evening meal. Aristos is the morning meal, or mid-morning meals. On the Sabbath, they ate the meal after they got back from the temple. So this was the morning meal, and the Pharisee asked Jesus if he would eat the morning meal with him. And when Jesus reclined at the table, the Pharisee marveled that he was not first cleansed before the morning meal. The word "washed" or "cleansed" is the word baptizo. It's not the normal word for wash, it is the word baptized. It has to do with religious or ceremonial washing. And Jesus said to him, "Now you Pharisees, you yourselves cleanse the outside of the cup and the plate, but your inside," notice the translation. He talked about the outside of the plate and of the cup, but he says, "Your inside is full of robbery and evil." Foolish ones. Aphrone, or aphron, has to do with being senseless, not being able to tell between spiritual and physical things. Foolish ones, did not the one who made the outside also make the inside? Nevertheless, give the things being within as alms. The word alms in Greek means charity or compassion. And behold, all things are clean to you. Now the three woes to the Pharisees, verses 42 through 44. But woe to you Pharisees, because you are tithing the mint and the rue and every herb. Mint is like an incense. It's a plant grown in the garden, and they would spread it on the floor of their homes for an incense. The rue was a shrub that also was grown in the garden, grew to be about 2 feet high. It was used for medicinal purposes. You are tithing the mint, which is an incense, and rue, used for medicinal purposes, and every herb, and you are passing by the judgment and the love of God. These things it is necessary to do. That would be the tithing. And those things not to be passed by or disregarded or dismissed. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the chief seat in the synagogue and the greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you are as the unseen tombs, and the men who are walking over them, they do not know it. Harsh words, hard words by Jesus. Jesus spoke harshly and hardly to the religious leaders of his day. As you read the New Testament, you begin to understand and get the feeling that religion really is an enemy of God. Religion is an enemy of God. As a matter of fact, people who are the most religious are the most hostile against the truth of God's Word. I don't know if you realize that or not. Rebellion against God finds its home in a religious system. People would rather be religious and hold to religious beliefs and participate in religious ceremony than have to deal with God on a personal level. I had often wondered, because my thought processes started up one day when I heard of a story. It's a true story. It didn't happen here in the United States, but it happened overseas, where Christians had gathered together for worship and fellowship together, and masked gunmen came in, 5 of them. They had machine guns. They came in and closed all the doors. The head man stood up front with his machine gun, had his black mask over his face, and he says, "All of you who want to deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're free to go. Those of you who confess Christ, you stay." Mobs of people jumped up and just left. They locked the doors, pulled off their masks, and says, "We're Christians too. We just wanted to find out who were the true believers." You know. But they were serious about it. It wasn't a joke. He said, "We want to get right down to the nitty-gritty. Who's following Jesus Christ, even if you have to lose your own life?" So my thoughts began to think, what if all religious systems on the earth were wiped out? We're talking about the Muslims. We're talking about Catholics, Jews, Judaism, Protestants. All Protestant denominations, all organizations no longer exist. There's no creed or code for each church denomination and religious system. The only thing we have is the Word of God and the Spirit of God ministering to our hearts, and the only thing that we can follow is Jesus Christ Himself, period. That's it. No system. No names on the walls of the churches, no religious systems whatsoever. Then a person would be forced. You either have to follow Jesus Christ or look for some other way for your security in rebellion against God. The Jews were the most religious people on the earth, especially the Pharisees. They were the height of religious expression. And these religious leaders were the most rebellious against the Lord and the truth of His Word. Now, they had their own system going here. And remember, these are God's chosen people, but they decided they were going to take the law and they were going to dictate to the people how to live according to God's Word. There are 3 people I want to tell you about, 3 leaders that we're going to read about this week and next week. First of all, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a sect, a denomination, if you will, of Judaism. The word Pharisee means separatist. They practiced separation. By that I mean there were things that they did and practiced, rules and regulations that they did and practiced, that separated them from all other religious people among the Jews. There were things that they did not do that separated them from all the religious practices of all the other Jews. So if you were a Pharisee, you were considered the highest, most spiritual religious person that there could be. They had lawyers. They're called lawyers in the Bible, and next week we will see that Jesus has a word for them. The 3 woes to the lawyers. They would make up the laws that you had to keep in order to keep God's law. They'd have hundreds and thousands of rules and laws that people had to live by in order to fulfill the law of God. Now, did God make those rules and laws? No. But because they were the religious leaders and they had God's law, they made the rules and regulations and said, if you keep these rules and regulations, you are automatically keeping the laws of God. The Jews have a 32-volume set of books that teach you how to keep the Sabbath day. Thousands of laws and rules and regulations that if you break one of them, then you've broken the Sabbath day law. Now, did God make up all those rules and regulations? No, He didn't. He had His own. But they decided to expand it because, after all, if you're going to keep the rules and regulations, you can't keep too many, because the more you keep, the better off you are, right? That's just the religious mindset. So if God says to tithe, give a tenth, and we've studied those scriptures in the Old Testament before, God says to tithe a tenth of the animals, one out of every ten, a tenth of the grain, and a tenth of the harvest from the crops. Oh, the Pharisees, they said, you know, if we tithe everything, not just what God prescribes, but if we tithe everything, that's even more spiritual. If we tithe the herb that's in the garden, now God never said to tithe that. But they figured if they did, that's got to be better than the person who just keeps what God says. That's going beyond what God says. I'll do more than what God says, so that makes you more spiritual in the eyes of the religious mind. So they did more than what God required, and they considered themselves separatists, separated for God to do more than even what God requires. But also separatists in that they wouldn't have anything to do. They wouldn't touch the unclean thing, and they kept the law and they kept the rules and regulations. That's why when Jesus ate with sinners, they said, how can He eat with sinners? We don't eat with sinners. We don't touch them. We don't let them come near us, because then we are religiously defiled. And that's the religious mindset. The religious mindset says if you keep the rules and regulations, you have to be spiritual. In fact, keeping the rules and regulations makes you spiritual according to all religious systems. Depends what the system is. And so the Pharisee is the separatist. There's also a group called the Sadducees, and we'll be introduced to them a little later. But the lawyers within the Pharisee sect or denomination, they are the ones who made up the rules and regulations for obeying God's law. Then there were the scribes. Scribes were a lot like the lawyers in that they studied the law, but the scribes were the ones that you went to for interpretation about what God's Word says. They were the teachers of the law, whereas the lawyers were the ones who told you the rules on how to keep those laws. So, just like what we have in our day, and all religions are the same, they just have different people and different beliefs and different ceremony. It's just conducted in a different way. But all religious movements are the same. You have the human leaders that you submit to. The humans involved get together and say, here's what we stand for, here's what we believe. And it's different than what the church on the corner believes, even though we're all Christians, but we believe something different. So we put our creed up there. And whether it's right or wrong, you either agree with it to stay or you have to leave. You know, you can't be a part of it. So we've made like a religious club. And God has given us His Word, and our attitude is, thank you, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You that Your Spirit has inspired us. We'll take it from here. You know? And we step out and we make the rules and regulations, whatever it takes to motivate the people and get the people to keep the rules. Because after all, Jesus has left, hasn't He? You know, He's ascended up to the right hand of the Father. He's going to come back soon, but before He comes back, we better get our act together. so we keep the rules. But if you read the book of Acts, after Jesus ascended up into heaven and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers, there was no religious system. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, the believers met in homes. It was like a family get-together. Sat in the living room and just gathered around the Word and had prayer. Some of the Jews still went to the temple and continued their practice of Judaism. But the early church in the book of Acts just went by the power of the Holy Spirit, just got together for fellowship, the apostles' doctrine and prayer. That's it. It wasn't a club. It wasn't an organization. It wasn't run by man. The original apostles, the original disciples ran and taught the early church. And you say, yeah, but they're gone. We got to make up for it because we don't have people here that know Jesus and has walked with Jesus. Yeah, we do. Right here. That's why I have said to you, if you represent Jesus Christ, even on a one-on-one situation with somebody at work or somebody in your neighborhood or somebody in your home, or you stand in front of a group of people to minister the truths of God's Word, because those people that were used as instruments to write the Word of God are not here. They were just instruments, right? Because God removed those instruments from the scene and left the inspiration here, God raises up other physical instruments to continue the same message. Now, the awesome responsibility is, in case you ever get ambitious for ministry, the awesome responsibility is that if I represent Paul, if I'm going to share and be used of the Lord to share what Paul was teaching, is that I have to get to know Paul and I have to get to know what inspiration was given to him. I have no freedom to express my own thoughts, revelation, or inspiration about Paul's writings. I've done that for years. I've interpreted Paul's message and bring it into our modern day as to what it means to me. What it means to me has absolutely nothing to do with it. Not only do you have Paul, but you've got Peter and John and Jude and James. If they were here, what would they say? And when you represent God's Word, you've got all the books of the Bible here. Every person was inspired by God's Spirit. We represent the truth that was given to them that is the same truth that is given to us today. Would Paul change his message because he visits our church in 2004? No, he wouldn't change his message. He'd probably look around him and go, spaceships? Cars? What's all this? Well, back to spiritual things. You know? Same spiritual truth is true today as back then. Just because they had chariots and wagons and horses back then, we have cars today, truth doesn't change. Spiritual truth is always the same. Just as the laws of science pertaining to this earth has not changed since Paul's day, the law of gravity is still the same. So the spiritual laws of God are the same. And that's what we're studying. But religion is man taking God's truth and changing it into man's rules and regulations, something that we can control. And in so doing, we're choking off the Spirit of God. There must be order, but not control. The early church was a family. Now, can you see? Can you imagine your own family? Maybe this appeals to you. Maybe I shouldn't even bring it up. But if we institutionalized our families, went down and made our families a non-profit organization, you know, and we told our family members, every Sunday morning we're gathering around the table, and here will be the program. The kids would probably go, hey, Dad, just be real, will you? You know, we're a family because we're a family, because we're related, because we're born into this situation. Yes, we can sit around and talk in an orderly manner about the issues of life and problems, etc., but in reality, functioning as a family has nothing to do with ceremony. The most rebellious people are religious people. When I say rebellious, I mean rebellious against God. Because you are free to choose a religious system that you agree with as far as its beliefs go, and you can reject what is said in here. The people that come to your door, knock on your door, two by two. Do you think they're coming to your door saying, you know, we're looking for truth? And if there's something that I'm sharing with you that you think is not right, can you enlighten me? They're not saying that. They are there to enlighten you, and anything that you say is wrong. And they listen to you, but they don't listen. They're listening to say, okay, well, he or she is going down this avenue, so we have our answers. They have their ducks all in a row. Here's how we answer you if you say that to us. They're not open. And if there's something that you say to them and they get stuck, they either change the subject or they say, we'll be back tomorrow. And they either send someone else or they go learn how to answer that presentation. If you learn how to answer people, you're not open to the truth. So the religious system allows people to be rebellious against God. Because it allows us to form our own system and find now, even here in America, we can find a church system that we agree with. Easy. But the Jews were God's people. God's chosen people. And it had gotten to a point that even when Jesus came, and Jesus said, you are searching the Scriptures, and they are the ones that are testifying of me. Their reaction was, we'll handle this. We're the scribes. We're the scholars. We'll interpret this for you. You're committing blasphemy. Telling God. I mean, that's the height of religion. Telling God, you're committing blasphemy. And getting rid of the light and getting rid of the truth. Jesus said, for what sin have I committed that you are against me? Name it. Where in the Word or where in my life have I been wrong? The only thing that Jesus did was he went against the religious system that they held to. So you have the Pharisees, and it is interesting in our text today in verses 37 through 44. First of all, in verses 37 to 41, is that the Pharisee invited Jesus to eat the morning meal alongside of him. Verse 38 says that after Jesus entered in, that Jesus reclined at the table. And as I said earlier, the literal translation tells us about how the custom was that when they ate at the meals, that they would actually lay down and prop themselves up on one elbow so that the feet are pointing out from the table. And they would prop themselves up on one elbow and they would eat with one hand. And all would lay or recline around the table. And this is the way that they ate. They didn't have chairs. They reclined at the table. But after the Pharisee invited Jesus to have the morning meal with him, he watched Jesus. And he marveled, that is, he was shocked, because Jesus was not first washed before the morning meal. The word washed, as we said in our introductory remarks, is the word baptizo. That he was not baptized before the morning meal. Now the Pharisees had a custom that all material things, before you use them, had to go through ceremonial washing, including your hands. At one time, they were shocked that the disciples were going through the grain fields, eating and pulling the grains, a head of grain off, and eating them without washing their hands. It wasn't because their hands were dirty, like what we do. We tell our kids, wash your hands before you eat. They weren't shocked that they were eating with dirty hands. It's that they didn't purify themselves ceremonially before they ate. And they would clasp their hands together in a prayer position and allow the water to run down over their hands, and then they'd turn their hands upside down and let the water run back down, so in case they want to cover all the skin. And they would baptize, not wash, catch this, ladies, not wash, they would baptize the plates and the pans and the cups. So not only did you have to wash them after eating, but they had to be baptized before you could use them. Then they would be declared as ceremonially clean and pure. So Jesus was invited to the morning meal, and he just walks in, and from the Greek word plopeo, just plops himself down. Just reclines at the table. Like a normal person, you know. And the Pharisee is shocked because Jesus did not submit himself to the baptizing ceremony before sitting down to eat the meal. Now that's, where does it say in the Bible that you have to be, your hands and pots and pans have to be baptized before you can eat? It doesn't. That's man's rule. But the Pharisees had set such a high standard of law and legalism to produce spirituality, they were judging Jesus because Jesus broke the rules. I find that Jesus will always break the rules of a religious system. Always. Spiritual approach to life is different than the religious approach to life. Religion focuses on the outside of a person. It disciplines a person. I'm not against discipline. And we often look at religion as saying, how can religion be bad? Because it makes a person a better person, a better human being. They practice loving one another and practice being kind, and they stop drinking and they stop smoking and they stop chewing and they stop... They stop cursing because now it's against the religious principles. So people actually become good people, good human beings. How could there be anything wrong with that? Well, Jesus isn't dealing with discipline. In fact, it goes to show you don't even need to be a Christian to clean up your act. Don't even need to be. I saw an article this week on the internet of how people are turning more and more to their inner self to escape the problems of life. They said on the average, men encounter 10 circumstances a day that cause them to react outside of themselves. The survey said for a woman, it's 23 instances a day. Sometimes 30 or 40 instances a day where a woman reacts to circumstances and hardships and makes her be outside of herself. Out of control, just thoughts and emotions just flying. It's not my survey. And if Bill wants to move up to the front pew, he can. We just created 3 instances of stress just now where we were outside of ourselves. See, the article says more and more people are trying to tap into their inner self, gain control. And you say, so what's wrong with that? If you practice certain psychological principles to gain control of yourself so that you are not reacting uncontrollably, what's wrong with that? In a human sense, probably nothing. In fact, you're probably saving people and yourself a lot of problems. But it isn't spiritual. That's why the positive thought movement and all these other psychological Christian science, religious science practices from the Eastern religions have come into the church, where 15, 20 years ago we called them psychological and science, and it's occultic practice. And today it's in the church and we accept it as being from God. Mind power. Everything that God creates by the power of His Holy Spirit can be created, say most everything, by the power of the mind. I can create faith. It's not the same faith that the Holy Spirit produces. I can also produce love. I haven't done that one yet. In case your mind is starting to get out of control. I can discipline myself to love you. Be kind. That take a miracle. Be kind and gracious and helpful and call you every day. Make sure everything's okay. Even to the point of annoying you more than I do. Just annoy you in a different way. Hey, how you doing today? Anything I can do for you? If you didn't have an answering machine, you'd get one. Just so you can hit the erase button. There he is again. Mr. Love himself, you know. I already know Star 82. I already know all the. See, I can. My love can get through all the challenges. Everything that God's Spirit can produce spiritually, I can duplicate it through the power of the mind, and I can duplicate it through my own discipline. I can appear to be a Christian. I can act like a Christian. Boy, I tell you, that phrase has bugged me since the first day I got saved. Well, you're not acting like a Christian. Well, where does it say you have to act like a Christian? I always understood that to be hypocrisy. God's Word never said act like a Christian. It said be one. Be real. Walk with Christ. Trust in the power of His Holy Spirit in the midst of your weakness. The only thing holy about me and Christian about me is the fact that the Spirit of Jesus Christ resides in my heart. He's the only one that's holy about me at all, in my whole being. My mind is corrupt, my heart is corrupt, my flesh is corrupt. That's enough to make me leave church depressed. You know? So the flesh finds a religious system. Religion for the flesh is equivalent to someone coming to the conclusion that they are physically out of shape. We have a neighbor who has decided that they are out of shape and they've joined the Y. I have nothing against exercise. I do it once a year myself. I have nothing against physical exercise, but it is interesting that we can look at ourselves and say, I'm out of shape, I'm overweight, I have all these vices and habits that I practice in the flesh that aren't good for me. I'm going to join a club and change. You know? I'm going to exercise. I'm going to stop all my vices. I'm going to watch what I eat. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. A religious system is the same thing for the flesh. We just realize, boy, my life is just going in 20 different directions and my life is out of control and I have all these vices and I have no discipline. So we go find a church. That's what religion does. But it gives you a false sense of self-righteousness and a false sense of spirituality. When the Pharisees saw that Jesus was not baptized, in verse 39, Jesus said, "Now you Pharisees are cleansing the outside of the cup and the plate." Notice what he says. The Lord emphasized the outside of the cup and the plate. But then Jesus said, but your inside. He didn't say the inside of the cup or the plate. He says, you wash the outside of the cup and the plate, but your inside is full of robbery and evil. So he says, your attention is on outward things, on material things, even your flesh. You clean up the outside, but inside, your heart, your spirit, is full of robbery and evil. So in verse 40, he says, "Did not the one who made the outside also make the inside? Verse 41, nevertheless, give as alms from the things that are inside of you. Then everything is clean to you. In other words, get your inside clean. Get your spirit, get your heart clean, and whatever you do out of a clean heart is clean. Oh, the Pharisees didn't like that. The center of attention of religion is not on your spirit, on your heart. The attention is on the discipline of the flesh. The Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance where God looks on the heart. God says, well, you disciplined your flesh with a religious system, but I'm looking at your heart. As you're participating in the religious system, I see your heart as full of evil and robbery. Jesus said, it's not what goes in the mouth that corrupts a man, it's what comes out of the mouth, for what comes out of the mouth comes forth from the heart, and the heart produces evil. The greatest need of man and of a person is to have their heart cleansed. And that can only come by receiving Jesus Christ and have His Spirit come into our spirit and cleanse us and keep our spirit clean through His presence. It's the only way. Verses 42 to 44, the three woes. The word woe, ouai in Greek, means destruction. It's a pronouncement of destruction upon someone. Woe to you Pharisees, because you are tithing the mint and rue and every herb, but you are passing by the judgment and the love of God. Now he says these first things it is necessary to do. For the religious system, the Jews under the law, it was necessary for them to tithe. But he says to dismiss or pass by the others, that isn't right either. You see, Jesus was telling them, judgment is coming upon you, the Pharisees, the religious people, especially the religious leaders. Judgment is coming. And you're ignoring that in order to hold to and keep to your religious rules and regulations. Your inside is going to be judged and your focus is on the outside. Woe to you! Destruction is coming. Not only are you bypassing the judgment of God, but also the love of God, because God's love has provided His Son for your cleansing. But you have rejected Him. Verse 43, the second woe. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the chief seat in the synagogues and you love greetings in the marketplaces. They loved it. Because when you saw a Pharisee, especially stand on the street corner and pray, everybody would just stop. Like, ooh, the holy spiritual man is praying. Ooh, here a Pharisee's praying. And they loved the greetings because it was recognition. And that provided a sense of spirituality and rightness with God. When society recognizes your holiness. So, oh, there's the people that keep the law to the letter. And they keep the law of the laws. And whenever their synagogue meeting came, they loved those head first seats up front so that people could see them. They were like a dignitary sitting up front. And they loved the greetings. Hello, Rabbi. Hello, holy man. You know. The recognition, he says, you love it. Self-recognition. Self-esteem through religious practice. The third woe in verse 44. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees. The teachers of the law and all of the Pharisaical system. You are like unseen tombs that men who are walking over them don't even know it. First of all, he includes scribes now, and he calls them hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. The word hypocrite in Greek, hypokrites, is the word for actor in Greek. The person who participated in drama was called a hypocrite. Because they were taking on a role, an act, that was not really them. So they were called a hypocrite. The word hypocrites literally means to answer according to the script. To answer according to the script. So you learn your script and you become that character. Whenever we watch television or go to a movie, it is testifying to us about the power of the human being to take on a character, to take on a language, to take on an appearance that's not really them. Some people are just good at it. In religious circles, all you have to do is learn the script. Learn how you're supposed to talk, how you're supposed to act, all the phrases, all the definitions. And when you're around Christians, just to act like a Christian all the time, you know? That's why I say I hate the phrase, act like a Christian. It's not an act. Be a Christian. Walk in the Spirit. In the midst of the weakness and in the midst of all of these things. And we as Christians, we have a tendency to go by the appearance of the flesh. I can drag myself to church on Sunday. I didn't say church was a drag. I said, I could drag myself to church and walk in going, oh, thank God I'm here. What a rough week. And walk in and just stumble in going, oh, I just need the fellowship and I need the study of the Word. Come dragging in. As soon as I walk in, somebody's going to go, what's wrong with you? Where's your joy, brother? Well, I left her out in the... No. Church is a spiritual hospital. On our way to church, we get ourselves psychologically geared up because as soon as we step out of the car and see people in the parking, praise the Lord! Yeah. Because everybody's looking. Is everybody acting like a Christian? Oh, there, see that guy over there? He doesn't have a smile on his face. Let's what? Hey, Ralph, what's your problem? You know. Okay, praise the Lord. There you go.
Need a prayer.
Yeah. And people get worn out. You know, it's like as soon as you get in your car and drive away from church, it's like, man, that was a lot of work. Now I can be real and nobody's going to jump on my back because of the way the flesh looks or the way the flesh feels. Jesus just said, come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. The message of the church fellowship is just come. You know, if you have to drag yourself in the door, if you have to lay down on the pew, whatever you have to do, prop yourself up on the wall, I don't know, whatever it is, just come. There's no performance. He says, you are hypocrites. You are acting according to the script. He says, but you are like the unseen tombs. Now, during the feast days, because if one of the rules was that if you stepped on a grave of a dead person, they're not alive, they're dead. If you stepped on the grave and a person was buried in that grave, you are considered now to be unclean, and according to the law, if you touch a dead person, this is what I mean by laws, you're not really touching the dead person, but the Jews extended it out that if you even walked over the grave of a dead person, you're unclean for 7 days. You cannot participate in the religious ceremonies of the Jews. So if you come to Jerusalem and you come from outside of Jerusalem and you come into town and you walk across a grave and one of the Pharisees is there going, ah, unclean. Yeah, you try to get reimbursed for that trip. Won't happen. Can't participate for 7 days because now you are unclean. So what they would do is they would paint the graves white so that you would know not to step on the gravesites and be unclean. Jesus said, you are like the unseen tombs that people are walking over and they don't even know it. He says, basically, spiritually, you're like those tombs. Inside, you're nothing but being spiritually dead. Outwardly, you have that beautiful appearance of white like the outside of a tomb. But just like a tomb looks good after you paint it, inside is nothing but dead bones. He says, your inside is dead. And people who are listening to you and people who are following you and respect you and recognize you don't even know that they're bringing spiritual uncleanness upon themselves. I like these portions of Scripture. It makes us stop and realize that the Peter Pan Jesus that's being presented today, I like to study all sides of Jesus. What did Jesus have to say about religion, the religious leaders, and especially the religion of the world, which God Himself started? He was hard. He was harsh. Jesus would not let people get away with practicing religious practices, and they depend upon that for their righteousness and for their purity and for their spirituality. And all religions are the same. They're just different. Today, the Protestant church isn't any different than the Catholic church. Just different. We have different doctrines and different practices. And back when Martin Luther tacked up those ordinances on the door and said, we protest, that's what Protestant means, protesters. We protest man's rule over the things of God. But man's heart is the same. I could leave the Protestant church and go to the Catholic church, or leave the Catholic church and go to the Protestant church, or leave both of them and go to Judaism. And I'd be doing the same thing in all three. Doesn't make any difference. It's just different, but it's all the same. It's whatever practice appeals to me, whatever doctrine appeals to me. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with people. And our problem today is that because of our human senses, we want something tangible that we can identify with. So we join a system and a program, and we follow the rules and we follow the regulations until Jesus comes. But that's horizontal, you see. We read our Bibles devotionally, but it's according to a program. Got to read 5 chapters a day. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship. He wants to cleanse us by coming into our hearts because of His shed blood on the cross. He wants to make us alive spiritually. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. Can you imagine? We have human beings that we're close with, but can you imagine the God who created the universe living inside of us? You can't get any more intimate and close than that. And so Paul says the development is in the inner person where Christ dwells. He's alive. He's not a religious figure from 2,000 years ago. He's alive. He's real. So we change all the spiritual reality into a system because we're secure. We're more comfortable that way. But we leave and we get spiritually attacked by Satan, and we try to find something in the system to help us. And our warfare is not physical, it's spiritual. So if I'm relying on the system for my comfort and my security and to be right with God, when I'm spiritually attacked, I have nothing. Well, practice the psychological principles. Here comes Satan again. But it doesn't... He's not afraid of that. When I retreat into my refuge, when I retreat into my shelter, when the Lord becomes my shield, not by principle and practice, but by relationship, that is when Satan leaves me and leaves me alone. So Jesus came, and He was the hardest on religious leaders, because they had created a system for the people. When God gave His law and gives His word, it's to drive people to Jesus Christ, not to the church. The word church in the Bible is different than the English word church. Doesn't sound right, does it? Because church is church. The English word church comes from the words kure dome, the dome or house of the Lord. That's ekklesia is the Greek word for church, and it means called out ones. It is a description of people. It has nothing to do with buildings or organizations. We are the church. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is His building. I got church going on in me 24 hours a day. And I get together with other people who are filled with the Spirit of God. We come together as a family to focus on the things of Christ and the things of His Word and the things of fellowship together. The simple things. So that when we leave, we can leave with a better relationship with Jesus Christ. We might have a better relationship with one another, but that's just a side benefit. The whole purpose is to know Him. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not grow in the grace and knowledge of Bill's revelations that he received this week. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can know Jesus, the same Jesus that Paul walked with, that John walked with, and that Peter walked with, and we can know Him in the same way. We might have a different function in the body of Christ, but we can know Jesus just as well as Paul did. That's why he ministered. So not so that people will be followers of Paul, but they can know the Jesus that he knows. We'll continue this and finish out the chapter next week as Jesus will talk about the three woes to the lawyers. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your Word. And even though we would like to hear pleasant things, it is good to hear and receive this part of Jesus. He wasn't just hard on religious people for the sake of being difficult, but because of the urgency of helping people see their need for Christ. That every person, religious or not, has a need to have their inside, their spirit cleansed, their heart cleansed. That can only come from Jesus, not from religious practice. By receiving Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from all of our sin. And He comes to reside within and to empower us and to fellowship with us, to lead us and to guide us and to develop a personal relationship with us. Help us to look into the inner person where Christ dwells. Help us to learn to function spiritually in this life instead of religiously and physically and horizontally. Help us to understand and perceive the message of Christ as He pointed to the reality and the truth of life and He pointed to Himself. Help us with these things and the transition that we're going through of focusing on religious system for our security and transferring over to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who loves us, who died for us, who is calling us to Himself and drawing us to Himself. We just thank You in Jesus' name.